We're in our fifth week of Lent. I hope that you are not just enjoying that time, but using that time and seeking the Lord and praying and fasting if you're led, so that you can hear from Him, which is what we're going to be looking at today. The God we worship, hearing His voice, something that's very critical to each of our spiritual lives. So we'll look at various aspects of that. Woo! I hear things happening. Anybody know who Brother Lawrence is? We mentioned him a lot of times or on occasion. But he was actually a monk and he lived in a monastery, and he was the cook. So he didn't really have the same prayer opportunities as a lot of the other monks because he was cooking and preparing. But he developed the ability to experience the presence of God in everything that he did and wrote about it. And this is a quote from him. He said, "This is what being in His holy presence is like. My day-to-day life consists of giving God my simple, loving attention. If I'm distracted, He calls me back in tones that are supernaturally beautiful. My prayers consist of a simple continuation of this same exercise. Sometimes I imagine that I'm a piece of stone waiting for the sculptor. When I give myself to God this way, He begins sculpting my soul into the perfect image of His beloved Son. At other times, I feel my whole mind and heart being raised up into God's presence, as if without effort, they had always belonged there." That's where I want to get to. Brother Lawrence understood what he called the practice of the presence of God. And his biographer said this about him. "His soul was resting in God, having lost its awareness of everything but love of Him. And because of this, his life was full of continual joy." Is your life full of continual joy? I know mine's not. That's how we get there. Being in the presence of God, experiencing the presence of God, hearing God speaking to us and leading us and guiding us and directing us in everything we do, in every place we are. Doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. But we have to step into that process and decide to go there. We're going to look at some ways that God speaks to us today. Is this not working still? I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm not used to this microphone, but that's okay. We're going to look at some ways that God speaks to us today. And the first and foremost is through the Bible. And we're going to get to our text a little later on, so don't worry about that. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the first part of that verse says this: "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives." All the ways that God may choose to speak to you and me, the Bible is the final authority. Think about it. The Word of God. We speak to each other with words. God has spoken to us with words. He's the one, through His Spirit, that inspired the men who wrote this thing. This is His word speaking to you. And if He spoke to you then through the word, He still speaks to us today through this word. And if He speaks to us through the word and He wrote the word, authored the word, then He's never going to say anything to you that's in opposition to what's in this book. He would never contradict Himself. It just doesn't make sense. Here's your final authority and the first way that God speaks to you and me today. Another way He speaks to us today is through other Christians. Very important. Proverbs 11:14 says, "There's safety in having many advisors." We kind of paraphrase that by saying there's safety in numbers, or strength in numbers, right? It's true. There's safety in having many advisors. We're here together in the fellowship in the church to support each other, encourage each other, maybe even correct each other if needed. But you can't get that outside of a fellowship. We need to have each other in our lives and begin to develop those relationships so that we can feel and sense and be with one another in a spiritual way. That's why it's so important that we come together, not just on Sundays, but on any time we can in fellowship with one another. There's a story. I keep walking away from the microphone. I have to tie my shoes to the podium or something. I'm not used to standing still. So there's a story called The Silent Sermon. You probably heard it before, but I'll tell it to you again, because I wrote it here to tell you. So. And the way the story goes is that there was a man who hadn't been to church in several weeks in a row. And the pastor was concerned. He decided he was going to go visit him at his home and see what's what, make sure he's okay. So he arrived at the man's door, and the guy saw that it was the pastor. So he knew what he was coming for. But he let him in anyway. So they go, the pastor enters his home, and they sit down in the living room in front of the fire that was burning in the fireplace. And they watched the fire and the flames for a minute, and then the pastor got up, and he grabbed the tongs, and he took a flaming, burning ember out of the fire and moved it off to the side by itself. And he sat back down and he watched, and within a minute, the flames stopped, and the ember just smoldered out. And then he got up again, and he took the tongs, and he took that ember, and he put it back in the flames, and it instantly caught flame again and began to burn brightly. And then he got up, and he left without ever saying a word. I think he got the picture. I think you do, too. My friend George told me that story about 35 years ago with a charcoal barbecue, and took one of the red barbecue coals out and put it off to the side to tell me that story. I hadn't heard of it as the silent sermon then, though. But, so anyway, we obviously, by that example, that illustration, we need each other. We need to be in fellowship with each other if we want our spiritual lives to burn brightly and continue to flourish. Another way that God will speak to us today is through our circumstances. You may not like to hear that, but it's true. Someone once said, circumstances drive us to our knees, so the only way we can look is up. How true. In our anchor story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that we've been using throughout this Lenten season sermon series, wow, that was almost like a tongue twister. There were three powerful armies coming to attack the people of Judah. I would call that a pretty scary circumstance that they found themselves in. But rather than panic, well, maybe they panicked a little too, but eventually they fell to their knees to seek God's help in their situation because it was just too much for them. They may have had to change their tunics in between. Circumstances don't always have to be bad, though. In Romans 2, verse 4, it says, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The point is, whether good or bad, God will allow circumstances in our lives so that we stop and we seek Him and press into Him. A fourth way that He speaks to us today is through His Holy Spirit. That hadn't stopped when the Bible was written or the last apostle died, because the Holy Spirit has been given to us and is in us since we accept Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says this, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. And the Holy Spirit is still speaking to us today. In John's Gospel, chapter 14 and chapter 16, I'll give you a quote from each of those. In chapter 14, it says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's with us right now. Can you sense Him? Chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And He's still speaking to His children. You can hear Him yourself, I hope. He even begins to speak to our hearts before we ever come to know Christ. Do you realize that? You are saved because God spoke to you and drew you to Himself. What we Nazarenes call prevenient grace. Grace that comes beforehand. That's how we get saved. God's tugging on our hearts. And then we realize where we're at and yield in faith to Christ. And once we become children of God through Christ, and he gives us that spirit, we need to constantly be hearing from God, hearing his voice. Are you listening? But there's conditions to hear the shepherd. Now we'll turn to our text for today, John Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. If you can't find it, it's going to be up on the screen. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Sorry, not in front of the microphone. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And after he has gathered his flock, his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they do not know his voice. Let's just pray for a second. Father, we just thank you for this word today and ask that you would use your word to speak to our hearts, to bring us to a place where we seek you more diligently and expect to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. The first condition for hearing God's voice is you must be saved. Period. The end. We can't expect to be in fellowship with a God that we haven't really come to know. So we need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and he can then deposit his Holy Spirit into your being, into your soul, into your heart. And the Spirit of God can then begin to speak to you and teach you, train you, direct you, guide you, lead you. What's that? Oh, mom's going down? Yeah. Well, call 911 first. Someone got a cell phone? Call 911, please. Joe's got it. If everyone would just stay calm, bow your head, let's pray for mom, okay? Our Father, we are in a situation, and for whatever reason you've allowed this at this moment, but we pray, oh God, that you would be with mom, with Eva, that you bring her through this thing. We pray that the experienced help would get here quickly and she'd be okay, Lord. We pray you'd reach through time and space, touch her body, her mind, her spirit, and bring her through, Lord. Give Evelyn your peace as she attends to her mom, and we pray, Lord, for you to manifest your presence, your power, right now in this place. For we ask it through the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Thank you. How do you pick up from that? Okay, so it's 5 after 10. You want the Reader's Digest version, or you want to just pack it in here? Or I'm sorry, we didn't turn that clock ahead. The hour didn't matter. It's 5 after. That's the only part I was looking at. Well, she looked like she was in a little better shape than when we first saw her. So keep praying for Eva and Evelyn as well. They're just getting her in the back of the truck now. So thanks for the best thing I've learned over many years in all kinds of situations is to stay out of the way, you know. So thanks for not getting all freaky over there and staying in your seats. That helps a lot. Helps them be able to minister to her better as well. So, I have no idea where I was, but that's okay. You have to be saved. Okay. Yeah, so the first condition for hearing God's voice is that we have to be in a relationship with him. We have to be a member of his sheepfold if we want to hear the shepherd, which it says in verse 11 of John 10, a little further down from where we read, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. So when we place our faith in the one who gave his life for us, he becomes our shepherd, and we become his sheep. And then it says we can recognize his voice. When we accept Christ, we're given spiritual ears to hear and recognize the shepherd's voice. In John 10:3, it says, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. You will recognize God's voice if you practice and listen. We don't have to do anything, and we can't do anything, really, to receive this. It's part of the salvation package that God has offered to us freely by Christ's blood. If you are in Christ, you have been given spiritual ears. Next thing, though, that we have to be is sensitive. It's not enough just to have spiritual ears. Our ears must be sensitive to his voice. In John 10:4, it says, his sheep follow him. How do his sheep know to follow him? He continues, because the sheep know his voice. Do you know God's voice? Have you heard the shepherd speaking to you? It should be something familiar. It's something familiar to the sheep. And that's why they respond and they follow him. They've heard it many times before. Jesus tells us in the Gospels that the Pharisees were dull of hearing. They had human ears, but they never really developed spiritual ears. So they blew it most of the time, in Jesus' opinion. Even the disciples didn't get the point some of the times. But yet they weren't filled with the Spirit yet. You know, since Jesus has raised from the dead and we accept Christ, he gives us the Spirit. So we have an advantage even over the disciples at that time. But here's an example of when the disciples heard the voice of God. It's found in Matthew 16. And Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they gave various answers. But then in verse 15 to 17, we're told this. Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from any human being. They heard the voice of God. At least Peter heard the voice of God. Only God could have shown him such deep spiritual truth at that moment. No human being could have interacted with him to teach him those things. And likewise, only the Spirit of God can open up God's word to us and help us to understand what the Lord wants to say to us and through us. And so we must be constantly in this sensitive state of listening to God. Our attitude should be one of awareness and keen sensitivity, so that when he speaks, we hear. Another condition is that we have to be surrendered. There's a final condition that we need to hear God's voice. So we have to surrender to him. And we have to have not only open and sensitive ears, but they have to be bended toward God. When he speaks to us, sometimes we already have our own idea of what we want to do. But are we surrendered enough to change our mind, change our approach, and listen to what he's saying? It may not be what you had in mind at first. We'll look again at our story in a couple of minutes from 2 Chronicles 20. But one of the lessons that are in the book Pure Praise, which is where we're getting these series from, it was called Our Most Important Ability. In John chapter 10, in our text, verse 3, says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Being able to hear from God should be our highest priority as Christians, especially as ministry leaders, workers, pastors, board members. That should be a top priority, is developing a sensitivity to hear from God. How can I lead someone else unless I'm being led by God? How can you lead others unless you yourself are being led by God? In our story, the people of Judah were faced with a crisis situation. King Jehoshaphat, he didn't make a snap decision in how to combat these three powerful armies that were coming against them. Instead, he decided not to make a decision on his own. That's important sometimes. And rather, he wisely led the people to seek God for the answer, not their own ability. In my day job, I'm a manager, so I am expected and sought after to make decisions all day long. And sometimes I make good decisions, sometimes maybe not so good. But it's become part of my DNA to be able to quickly assess the situation and make a decision so that things can get done. And that has its good points, but it also has its bad points. Because I take that characteristic, if you want to call it, into my spiritual life a lot of times, and that's not good. We don't want to react, be so quick to make a decision. We should seek God first and wait. When we face a situation, stop, regroup, pray, seek the Lord, wait on Him for an answer, and then move forward as He directs, not necessarily what we have in mind. The king could have made a military decision that day, could have made a strategic decision, a logical decision. That's my blessing and curse attribute, logic. But instead, he chose to have the people pray and ask for God's help. This was his response to God. "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Man, that's a revolving key verse that comes into every one of these sermons this Lenten season. And it needs to be our heart's cry too. "I don't know what to do, God, but I'm going to fix my eyes on you and wait for you to direct me and lead me." In John 4, 1 John 4:4, it says, "But you belong to God, dear children. You have already won a victory over these people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." We have His Spirit. We have the victory. We have the ability to be led by God Almighty in any situation and circumstance that we find ourselves. But we have to listen. We have to develop that spiritual attribute. Instead, many times we panic or worry or become anxious about things and situations. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank Him for all He has done, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." See, we also hear from God when He leads us by His peace. When you're facing a situation and you're praying and asking the Lord's direction and help, and sense of peace when you think about going in a particular way, that could be the Lord speaking to you. Develop that sensitivity. People of Judah were faced with a serious situation. They didn't only want to hear from God. They had to hear from God. They had no other choice. They were dead without Him. They took three important steps to hear from God, and I'd like you to jot these down as well. They consecrated themselves to God first. They fasted and they prayed, seeking the Lord's direction in their situation. Next thing they did was they confessed their need to God. They gathered in the temple, praying, deciding that they were not going to leave there until God spoke to them. They confessed that they couldn't do this on their own. As He said, "We don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon You." Another thing they did was that they prepared themselves to hear from God. They concentrated all their attention on hearing His voice so they would know what to do. They fixed their eyes on God because they had nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to look. They already decided that God was going to speak to them. Now they just waited for Him to speak to them. And so God used a prophet to tell them what they needed to do. And as soon as they heard from God, the crisis was over. It didn't happen yet, but they knew God was going to move among them. And they rested in His promise, and then they watched the victory take place. I want to look at recognizing God's voice. How do you know when it's God that's speaking to you? What does his voice sound like to you? Here's some characteristics of his voice. First of all, it should be familiar. If we've heard his voice enough, it becomes a very familiar voice to us. Like a family member. Like a father. Our father. Who's speaking to us. Didn't you recognize your parents' voice? My dad used to have a way to whistle. I don't know how to do it. You know, with his teeth or whatever. You could hear that whistle for like 3 blocks away. If my dad whistled, no matter what time of day it was, no matter where I was or what I was doing, I better get home because he was calling me. And I could recognize that whistle over anybody else's whistle or anybody else's yelling or anybody else's anything, and I knew it was my dad. My mom couldn't whistle. So she developed what we now call the grandma toot or whatever. She would go, ooh, ooh. Make her believe she was whistling. But we knew that thing. When she went, ooh, ooh, we would come running because she only did that for us, you know, and nobody else's mom did that. And now we're passing that on to the third generation. The little Nicky comes over to play hide and seek, and when he's looking for us, he'll go, ooh, ooh. He wants me to make a sound so he could find me. So we're carrying the mom tradition. But even an infant recognizes the mother's voice from very early on. They've been hearing it all the time. They're developing. Yeah. Another thing, a characteristic of his voice is that it's personal. You know he's speaking to you because he's speaking to you. He knows you. He calls you by name. You're his. Another characteristic is that it's always going to be simple and clear. God doesn't want to complicate your mind and play head games with you. In the book that we're reading or have read, the author Dwayne Moore says this about his mom. He would say, she didn't say, Dwayne, I implore thee to make haste and move in the general direction of thy household with the express purpose of finding sustenance and renewed energy for thy body. She just said, Dwayne, come home for supper. Get the difference? When God speaks to you, he's going to speak clearly to you so you can understand and recognize that it's him speaking. John 10:9 says, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved, and they will come and go freely, and they will find good pastures. It's not going to be a complicated, torturous process to hear from God. You're going to follow him because you recognize him, and he's going to fulfill what he says he's going to do for you. Another characteristic of God's voice is it's going to be loving, not condemning. My mom's voice was always loving, even if she was yelling at me, which she did a lot of when I was younger. But she was yelling at me, motivated by love. Make sure I would be okay, I would do the right thing, or I would be protected. Whatever the reason that I made her yell at me, I knew that there was love behind it. In John 10:10-11, Jesus said, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. We're fighting a real battle, as I'm sure you know. It's a spiritual battle, but it's a very real battle that we're in. The enemy wants nothing less than to destroy us and to destroy our relationship with God through various means, discouragement, or anything he can do to distract us, keep us from focusing on God, derail us in the process. He'll even use each other to get under your skin. What crisis situation or circumstance are you facing right now? You or someone you love? As we close today, take some time to pray for that situation with a new approach. Pray confessing your need to God to step in. Pray that you'll hear his voice. Pray a prayer of dedication of yourself to God. And that you won't stop seeking him until he answers. Does the Bible say anything about your situation that you can hang on to and use against the enemy in this war? Maybe you want to partner up with somebody else in the church. Support each other in prayer. You don't have to tell them your situation that you want them to pray for. God knows what it is. Just ask for them to support you and pray for you, pray with you. And you'll do the same for them. Is the Holy Spirit prompting you? Or maybe He's prompting someone else to tell you something that you need to hear. Maybe it'll be a corrective action. Maybe it'll be encouragement. Maybe it'll be the answer that you needed from God. Have you devoted your life to following Christ? Are you saved? Do you know Him? If not, don't leave this place today without praying and asking Jesus to come into your heart and life, to forgive you, to be your shepherd. And then you'll hear Him speak to you clearly. Are you familiar enough with His voice that you know when He's speaking to you? Are you surrendered to Him so that you may be willing to change your own approach and your own thoughts and ideas and instead follow His voice, obey Him? Are you desperate and determined to hear from Him? Have you decided that you're going to hear God's voice? Then pray this way and have the confidence that He is going to answer and you're going to receive incredible peace even in the midst of your circumstance. Part of understanding this God we worship is hearing His voice. Let's pray together. Lord, as we bow our hearts before You, we just continue to pray for Eva and ask, Lord, that they'd be able to do whatever is necessary to get her back on her feet and feeling herself again. Pray for Your protection for her, for Your peace for Evelyn, direction for her as well, knowing what to do with a mom. Maybe she needs to stay for a while. We don't even know what's going on, but You do. You have her in the palm of Your hand. You know everything about her. And You know everything about each one of us, Lord. And You care about the details to the point that You say You even know how many hairs we have on our head. If You care that much about us, we know You want to speak to us. And we pray, Lord, You would do that clearly. Help us to develop that skill, if you want to call it that, of depending on You and learning to recognize Your voice. The more we hear You, the more familiar You become. I know it's a little late, but let me give you just a few moments to pray about a situation in your life or someone you know, and pray with a new understanding that God wants to answer you, wants to speak to you, wants to lead you, guide you, direct you. If you want to get up and join somebody else that you know that you'd like to pray with or offer your support, Be free, and I'll close in a minute or two. We thank You for this time. We thank You for speaking to us through Your word. We pray You continue to do so in our private lives as we seek You. Now may the Lord be with you. May He shine His face on you and turn to you and give you His peace as you serve Him gladly. Go in the name of Jesus. Have a great week. Be free. Have a good day.